Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, 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 and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting to you from the Pacific Northwest, where we know the sun is shining somewhere, but we've got rain, that liquid gold that we value tremendously up here, coming down and gracing everything that is around us. And we are also being graced today on the show by Dr. Bernie Siegel. He's put together a book of true stories. It's called A Book of Miracles. And these are from people who he actually interacted with. So for those of you that have enjoyed his book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and have listened to this very fine man through the years, you know that this is going to be a very special experience again, because these are stories about real people and stories from the heart. Dr. Siegel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and feel free to call me Bernie.
Oh, goody. I was going to ask you that. I thought, okay, is it okay if I call you Bernie? Yahoo! All right, we've got it going. You have an excerpt from one of Walt Whitman's poems, and I'm going to read it because I think it says so much. Why? Who makes much of miracles? As to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with the same. Every foot of the interior swarms with the same. Now, this is a man, as a poet, that has touched the lives of millions and millions of people and does today. You have the same. What made you pull that out of one of his poems? Why was that important to you?
Well, because I agree. Everything is a miracle. And, you know, I was thinking of this today. Why is the sky blue? Why is the leaf green? Now, you might give me scientific reasons, you know, what lets certain wavelengths through or chlorophyll and so forth, but who decided it? And think of how beautiful and pleasant it is. And then you're talking about rain. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started a new religion called Undo, and the symbols are a penny, water, and a Band-Aid. Why a penny? Because it says liberty, and in God we trust. Yeah, I trust in our Creator. And I mean, for me, God's definition is intelligent, loving, conscious energy. It's not some person sitting somewhere. It's intelligent, loving, conscious energy. How do I know it loves us? Because when I cut my finger, I put a Band-Aid on, and it heals. I don't bleed to death. I don't die of an infection. And then water. You freeze water, it defies the laws of physics. It becomes less dense, and the ice cube floats. And every other liquid becomes more dense, and the solid material sinks. And I thought, wow, what if lakes and oceans and so forth froze from the bottom up? What would happen to life?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, as I say, everywhere I look, there's a miracle. And it's the potential that's built into us, I have to add. I mean, you were mentioning a woman that you knew whose husband had died and what happened to her. Well, think of one of the stories. I don't know if you've read them all, but a woman and her husband move to a retirement village, and the husband dies 2 months later. She's alone, lonely, doesn't know anybody. She's eating dinner one night. A piece of corn gets stuck. She can't breathe. She's choking. She said, I ran into the wall, slammed myself, and nothing came loose. And I'm sitting down, basically, I guess, waiting to die. You know, she didn't run out in the street because she couldn't yell for help. And then she said, I felt this incredible smack on my back, and the corn came flying out.
Mm-hmm. I remember that story.
Yeah, who smacked her on the back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, as I say, consciousness doesn't end. The body dies. So, you know, her husband is around. Now, I know it's not easy to talk, but again, to me, the key is what I call the still pond, how it appears in myths and fairy tales. The ugly duckling knows he's a swan by looking in the water. the tiger brought up by goats is taken by another tiger and said, hey, dumbbell, look, you're a tiger. And when we can quiet our minds like the still pond and reflect back, then some incredible things can happen to us. Mm-hmm. But you have to let, in a sense, your unconscious take over. I mean, if you're always thinking, you know, like people are, we don't have the same number of miracles, because I'm always thinking of bacteria, viruses, plants, how they survive. You know, bacteria alter their genes so they become resistant to antibiotics. You need a flu shot every year because the virus is smart, too.
Yeah, they're very smart.
Yeah, and so, again, why do we have more trouble? Because think of all the things we're involved in, you know, from internet, television, credit cards, depressions, you know, and they don't go through that. And so, again, I think people need to understand the self-induced healing abilities are within us. And if we can quiet our lives and minds, love our lives and our bodies, amazing things can happen. And let me give one more symbol, because I think it says it all. In Solzhenitsyn's book, Cancer Ward, he discusses self-induced healing. See, not a miracle or a spontaneous remission. One of the men was reading a book, says, look, there are cases of self-induced healing. And the symbol that flutters out of the book is a rainbow-colored butterfly. So this transformation is the symbol of the butterfly. And the rainbow is everything's in order, because every color represents an emotion when you do, you know, therapy with drawings and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I thought, boy, he intuitively understands and knows, but it's never taught to us in medical school or anywhere else, you know, because you don't want to blame your patient or make them feel guilty. It's not about that. It's about understanding that our lives become our chemistry, our feelings become our chemistry. When you let your heart make up your mind, you'll be a hell of a lot healthier. And when you pay attention to dreams and drawings and the unconscious, and again, let feelings direct you rather than what job do you think I should take? Where should I move to? When people learn to have a few months to live with a life-threatening illness, it's amazing when they really start living what feels right for them. I have one letter I get such a kick out of. This woman said she agreed with her doctor this time because he said she had 2 months to live. And so she bought a dog, put in a backyard wildlife habitat, laughed more, you know, goes on and on. But it ends with, I didn't die, now I'm so busy, I'm killing myself. Help, where do I go from here? I told her to take a nap. But, you know, doctors, I mean, this is another part that's really tragic and crazy. You walk into a doctor's office, you're supposed to be dead, and you walk in 5 years later, you're supposed to die in a few months, and say hi. Mm-hmm. And the doctor says, wow. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. Why doesn't the doctor say, will you please explain to me what went on? Why aren't you dead? Because that's what I began to say to a lot of people I met when I was out lecturing that I thought were dead. You know, they didn't come back to the office and that kind of thing. And I'd say, oh, how are you? What's happening? And they always had a story. Mm-hmm. It could be moving, changing professions. Relationships, it just all kinds of things. But there was always a story that led to the change in their life and their body and their survival.
Very true. And I think that's what makes your book so significant, A Book of Miracles, because these are real people that you're talking about. One of them was Susan Hoffman, and she had a very special diagnosis that was given to her in a dream. Will you share that story with us?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure which story.
She's the one that had the dream about a very tiny woman with slender hands touching her breast. And she awakened from that dream realizing she had breast cancer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear so many dreams from people. Let me share this one because it struck me. Was a woman who said, I went to bed, I learned I had cancer, and a cat, white cat, came up, said, my name is Miracle, and here's the chemotherapy you should take. Now, how does, you know, her brain know, but but consciousness has no limit to its knowledge. So, again, the cat saved her life because her doctor agreed and they did it and she's okay. Others, just as you're saying, well, Carl Jung, and I have never met a doctor, you see, who's been told that someone can have a dream and wake up knowing they have or don't have cancer. But this Carl Jung, about 90 years ago, interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I have to add my story. I was having some bloody urine. My doctor partners were all, get over the doctor, you know, you can have cancer. You can have... I went to bed that night because I was so busy. I couldn't make an appointment immediately. I was caring for a lot of people. And in the dream, I was sitting in a cancer support group, you know, running the group. And I said, let's all introduce ourselves. We went around the room. Everybody said why they were there. When it came to my turn, before I could open my mouth, everybody in the room said, but you don't have cancer. And I woke up knowing I didn't. And I mm-hmm. was correct. I mean, I had an infection and, you know, the blood. But those are the kinds of things. And so I've told women like Susan that when you have a dream and you know that this is significant, don't let your doctor say, oh, no, don't worry, it's nothing. That's just a little lump and it'll go away. Persist. Get another doctor. I know mm-hmm. one very intelligent congresswoman, you know, in the United States Congress, who saw 5 doctors because of a large lymph node, because she knew. And the 5th one said to her, look, you're driving us all crazy. I'll take it out. And she had a lymphoma. So mm-hmm. I would say again to people, follow your images and that intuitive wisdom. That's why I like to use drawings as well as the dreams, to say, draw yourself. And people display their anatomy. I mean, there are people I have operated on because of a drawing and not operated on because of their drawing. Because I could see anatomy in it and know they were revealing to me what was going on within their bodies.
Have you ever done that with children, ask them to make a drawing of their body
to see?
How have the children responded to this? Because usually they're very open, much more so than adults.
Oh, yes,
many
much
times.
More. Oh, yeah. I mean, I did a lot of pediatric surgery, and I used to call it deceiving the kids into health, too. In other words, more like hypnotic language. Mm-hmm. I could lie to them, suggest things to them. See, I mean, part of what woke me up to this was saying to children in the emergency room, you will go to sleep when you go in the operating room. I'm thinking of anesthesia. The kids fell asleep when they were being wheeled into the operating room. And I realized,
amazing.
Wow, look at the effect my words have on them. So mm-hmm. from then on, I paid attention to what I was saying. And I have to say, doctors kill people with words, too, because we're not trying, you know, you'll be dead in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to fix your cataracts because that costs money and you're going to be dead in 6 months. I mean, I've seen people go home and die in a week because of the way they were treated. But when you listen to those dreams and you know they're speaking the truth, then follow up on it. Because there are times, I think of another boy, he had a brain tumor. The parents were told, you know, it's not curable. I mean, he was treated, but they said, you know, we can't cure it. It's going to come back. And so parents take the boy home. He's improving, starts running around playing. They finally realize, what's the point of his sitting home? Let's send him to school.
Mm-hmm.
In the gym at school, he gets knocked over, hits his head, and everybody's panicky, so they take him to the emergency room, x-ray his skull, and there's no tumor. It's gone. All they saw was a calcification. And that's what the child had said to his father months before. You know, I go around my head, I have airplanes flying in my head, shooting, you know, blah, 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 at the tumor, and it's gone now. There's only a white spot. And that's what the calcification showed up. So, you know, you may say, oh, that's all crazy, and I can't accept that. But I'm telling you, I don't make up these stories. They're all about people.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all.
Right.
But
other doctors will say, oh, mm-hmm. I can't accept that. But mm-hmm. what I learned was just tell them stories. Don't get into arguments over statistics, because if they begin to listen to their patients, they'll get some stories, and then you can start the dialogue. And just as everything's a miracle, you see, cancer patients who laugh live longer. Loneliness affects the genes that control immune function. So you can't separate your life from your health.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, when people I call it being born again. You know, you learn you have a certain amount of time left. We all do. But, I mean, a short time left, and you rebirth yourself and start a new life. It's amazing what can happen to your body in response.
Oh, it is. It's just incredible. Now, Bernie, you have a section in your book. You've got many different sections in your book, but one is titled Angels and Guides. And your story was about how you were getting prepared to do a talk, and what you were talking about wasn't following the outline you had. So you just talked. You didn't worry about your outline. You just said, okay, I'm just going to go with the flow.
And but a woman it seemed better up, than what I had prepared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what happens. So a woman walks up to you, and she tells you she sees this man, which, by the way, if anybody ever went to a spiritualist church, this is not uncommon. People will say, oh, I saw this guy or this gal or this child or whatever. People see things. And she saw a man, and she drew a picture of him. Mm-hmm. And you said his name was George, and he's your inner guide. How did you become acquainted with George?
Well, many years before, Carl Simonton was in where I live in New Haven, Connecticut area. And he said, we're going to do guided imagery. See, I thought this was something for doctors. I was the only doctor in the room of 125 people. A couple of psychotherapists were there. It blew my mind that no doctor showed up to learn about imagery and what Carl had been doing. But and I didn't believe in imagery, but I'm a very visual person. I'm an artist. I was as a kid and still am. And so he said, we'll do guided imagery. And I thought, that's crazy. You know, I mean, see, I couldn't accept it as anything meaningful. But when he looked down off the stage at me, I thought, oh, he knows I'm not doing it because I'm sitting here with my eyes open. So I closed my eyes, and I had an incredible experience. And one of the parts of it was you walk along a path, and a guide comes and meets you. And I'm expecting Jesus or Moses because I'm a doctor, you know. And this fellow walks up, says, hello, I'm George. And you know, he had a beautiful gown on, a beard, full head of hair, all kinds, you know. So I know what he looks like. And I even drew his picture for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross many years later. So people can't say, oh, you're making this up. There's the picture I drew. There's the picture this woman drew. Well, I'm giving this lecture one evening. And I had an outline, you know, the way most people talk, mm-hmm. you look at your notes. But I realized I'm not saying what's in my outline. And then I thought, but what you're saying is better than your outline. Just go ahead. And I just let it flow. And at the end, the woman before the one who had the picture came up and said, I heard you before. That was better than usual. And she walked away. And then the next woman said, standing in front of you for the entire lecture was this man. So I drew his picture. And I have it in my home framed. And my picture, it's George. And at mm-hmm. a funeral one day, after speaking at a friend's funeral on a Sunday, Olga Worrell, who was a mystic and a healer, came up to me because we both knew this gentleman. And she said, and I'm standing alone in an empty hallway after the service in this building. She said, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, why are you asking? Because I spoke at a Sunday Christian funeral. She said, no, there's a man standing next to you. A rabbi, and she described him again, and it's George with the beard mm-hmm. and everything else, and he does have a prayer cap on, which I, you know, just figured was a little cap, but then I realized, yes, it's a rabbi, and what he's wearing is his prayer cap, but it just, you know, was incredible to me that two people could see him standing there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say both of them, you see, have the quiet mind, are mystics. You know, I talk about healing in the book, too. I mean, it's not me. It's my talking about what others have experienced. But I met Olga many years before when she was speaking at a medical conference. And I had injured my leg training for a marathon. And my wife said, honey, she's a healer. Go ask her to help you. I said, it makes no sense. Say, so my wife goes up to her and say, Olga, would you come over here? And again, I'm not a believer. She came over, put her hands on my leg. They were like two hot irons. I couldn't believe mm-hmm. the heat. And in 5 minutes, I got up, walked away perfectly well. And now there's a book out by William Bengston, called The Energy Cure. See, he has cured mice of cancer. They're not mm-hmm. sitting there saying, oh, look, here comes a wonderful person who's going to get us well. You inject cancer into mice, he puts his hands around the cage, the cancer resolves. and they mm-hmm. survive. Mm-hmm. And so, again, that's why I keep saying, pay attention to our potential. What are we capable of? Miracles are built into this system, but we shouldn't be calling them miracles, you know? It's, as they say, everything is a miracle. Astronomers and quantum physicists, they don't understand or can't explain everything about creation, but they accept it and study it, and that's what we need to do. Open our minds and make use of what's been given us.
Olga Orel was such a phenomenal woman. She and her husband both yeah. were healers of tremendous magnitude. Her husband was an engineer, very much mm-hmm. of the analytical mentality, yet he recognized this. Bernie, with you, how did this change how you worked as a physician? Because when you become aware of this, I would expect that it just gives you a feeling of, gee whiz, there's so much that people can look at and hope for, and wow, this just changes my attitude about healing entirely. What were the most dramatic things that occurred to you?
What changed me was back to that Carl Simonton meeting. One of my patients was sitting next to me. I wasn't separated from all of them now. And the end of her statement to me was, I need to know how to live between office visits. And that's what I started doing, support groups and helping people to live. I realized how few people want to participate. Like when you talk about kids doing drawings, there's a book called The Secret World of Drawings by Susan Bach, B-A-C-H, mm-hmm. which are the drawings of children with leukemia. And I began to learn after doing a drawing for Elizabeth from many therapists about, you know, what I thought I was discovering. They said, we know all this. I mean, it was very consistent. But what was your question again?
How did it change you?
Was get me to realize the statistics don't predict the future. They help you make medical decisions and choices about treatment, but there is survival behavior, and that's what I try to start teaching people. What is survival behavior? How, you know, your personality, your life. I would ask people what's going on in your life. And, yes, doctors would say to me, oh, you're blaming your patient. No, I'm not blaming them. But if somebody's had the death of a loved one, moved across the country, is feeling lonely, those are things that can affect your health. So I would ask them. And my patients are often very surprised. They said, how did you know? You know, because they'd say, well, what, you get a new job, move, have another child? They'd say, how did you know? And I said, well, that happened to me too. You see, I've also looked at my life and my wife's life and our family and the things that, because we had my wife, which included twins, had 5 kids in 7 years. We were exhausted and got sick too as parents, you know, worn out. So I learned, ask for help. You know, that's survival behavior. But it occurred to me that, again, you have to ask people, what's going on in your life? Why did this happen now? And we see how personalities affect survival, too. You know, women mm-hmm. with the same cancers as men live longer. It isn't mm-hmm. about hormones. It's about relationships and connections mm-hmm. that the women have. And I always say to the women, connect with yourself. You know, when the kids leave home, that's not a reason to lie down and die. But the men will say, I can't work. What's the point of living? So you get all this crazy stuff going on, which affects your internal chemistry and then, you know, affects your survival and everything else. See, even going home to a house with a dog after a heart attack, the mortality rate after a year was 5%. If you went home to a house without a dog, it was 26%. Mm-hmm. And you'd say, what difference does it make if you have a dog? It's what the dog does for you. Petting a dog changes your bonding hormones, like a woman mm-hmm. after pregnancy, you know, delivering. So all these things become science. And I think really when we open our minds, and by that I mean medical professions and others, and don't start saying, you know, and stop saying I can't accept that or I don't understand or I can't explain, so I don't want to study it, to open our minds to study what we can't explain. I always say that we're in outer space. We need to be in inner space. Just think of what the world would be like if all the money spent going to the moon and so forth were spent going into the human body, what we would know about ourselves and life.
It's wonderful. I have to tell you, Bernie, I've often said when I've been speaking to women that the reason we live longer is that there's always something to do. There's either a toilet to clean, a diaper to change, something to happen. I said, we can't afford to die. We just can't.
Right.
It's too much
and
to do.
And you see, those are some of the things I did in the office, how it changed me. I always remember a family coming in saying, my mother has cancer. She has 12 cats. We can't take it at her house. We'll have to find a home for the cats so she can be treated. I said, no, no, no. They said, what do you mean? I said, you take those 12 cats out of the house and your mother's dead. I said, tell her you can't find anybody to take the cats. And I guarantee you, your mother will survive. And the family got the message, and it made such a difference to Mama, you know, to keep her 12 cats and go on living.
Oh, I really think purpose in life is very important, and it's that aspect of caring or being involved. They found that in homes for the people who have gotten very elderly, that when they started letting animals in, they just came alive.
Yeah.
The
well,
same thing
plants.
In the children's departments. I mean, this is something they need, and the animals understand. They are incredible.
Right. In one nursing home, they put plants in the room, you know, like on one side of the hall. And they said, this is your responsibility to get sunshine, fertilize, water it. On the other side of the hall, they said, we're decorating your room. The people who were given responsibility lived 5 to 7 years longer.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's the difference all those connections make. But again, I repeat for the women, you know, when you say can't die till all the kids are married and out of the house, I've seen them die when the last kid leaves home. And that's why I say, make yourself one of your children, you know, reparent yourself, love your life. Because, again, I've seen people in Connecticut move to Colorado, buy a house on the ocean, and not die. You know, they did it to die where they felt it was beautiful. And then I call up and say, how come I wasn't invited to the funeral? And the people I thought had died answered the phone saying, well, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. That's a quote.
Yeah, and I think that's marvelous because there is so much in life. There are so many variables in life. We've got a lot of challenging situations going on, and I think that one of the most significant actions anybody can take is by somehow or another getting involved and taking a challenge of some kind.
Right.
When people get zoned out in front of a television and become literally TV zombies, and they're just taking in all this stuff that's being pumped out like oil out of an oil can, and it's just sticky and gooey, and it's dark, and it's not giving any kind of hope or inspiration or motivation. They become so oppressed with that. I think somebody needs to come along, pull the plug, and say, come on, you need to come out here, and let's check out something else. It's amazing.
What I say to people is something from Nietzsche and from Joseph Campbell. Love your fate, and when you're going through hell, ask yourself, why am I going through this? What do I need to learn from it? And I do this myself. I'm not just prescribing it. You know, because it's survival behavior to say, okay, I'm going to take the charcoal, turn it into a diamond. I'm going to take the curse, turn it into a blessing, and learn from it. And as I say, this is what I try to get across to people. All these things are possible. You know, what I compare it to, I say, if you're hungry, do you get upset? No, no, I get something to eat. Okay, ask yourself, what nourishment do I need in my life? And when they start nourishing themselves, it changes their life and their health. And that doesn't mean you keep all the feelings in. I mean, that's something people have to understand. There's appropriate anger, and I'm always saying this. You go to the hospital and you're not treated with respect, speak up. So that you're not killed, you know, with the treatment for somebody in another room, that they make a mistake. So if people don't treat you with respect, don't treat you as an individual, you know, call you by your disease or your room number, then you say something and let them know.
I think that that is so important. And I think it's important for people to be aware of the fact that life wants you to participate.
Yeah.
And that is what we're here for. We're here for the purpose of participating, contributing, taking risks, but also being aware that life is for the living. And people will get into their little cubicles. We all do it sometime or another.
Right.
And it's important to open that door periodically, check to see if something's changed.
Yeah. One of the
what do we need to be aware of? We need to be awake.
We're here
not
to
in a
contribute
coma.
Love to the world in our way. You know, it's not somebody imposing a life on you, saying, I want you to be a doctor, lawyer, plumber, whatever. You choose your way of loving the world. And one of the stories that really touched my heart was a young couple that were engaged, and the wife, well, the future wife, developed cancer while they were still fiancés. And she said to him, I'm sorry to present you with this burden. And he said, where love is involved, there are no burdens. Boy, that hit me in the heart, you know, because that's the lesson, too. That's the miracle. When love is involved, there are no burdens.
And well, Bernie, excuse me, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've seen this happen in concentration camps in all kinds of circumstances, that when people chose life, see, that's the message from our Creator, choose life, not what's good, but life, so it enhances everybody's life. When you choose life, we are all blessed.
I agree. Bernie, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. And for those of you listening, I know you know about Bernie Siegel, but you can go to his website, berniesiegel.com, find out more about the book, A Book of Miracles. These are true stories of healing, gratitude, and love. And Bernie, it's just absolutely a delight having you as a guest. And I know you've got your own radio show that you do. You're just such an incredibly busy man. But we are
You're
so,
right.
it's wonderful to be able to
talk to
a physician that has not only a love for his profession, but a serious awareness and love and appreciation for the people who come into your space and that you're able to share with.
I grew up with love. I cared about people, so I became a doctor for the right reasons. And I think that's what changed me. And let me say that the website is BernieSiegelMD.com.
Oh, thank you for correcting me.
All right.
BernieSiegelMD.com. Bernie, again, thank you so much for being my guest.
Bless you, Donna. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, BernieSiegelMD.com. Check it out.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. And find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. The telephone number to call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, I'm delighted you've been able to join me. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. I received a couple of stories from different people. One that I wanted to share with you is about the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, this particular prize has been awarded jointly to three women. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you haven't. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Liberian Layman Jabawi, and Tawakkal Carmen of Yemen. These are three women. Each in their own respective positionings, they have chosen to make a statement about fighting for women's rights and for making the environments that they have been in, which have been so horrifically violent, peaceful. And it was just absolutely quite a compliment to all three of them. There was apparently no way they could say, gee, we're going to have the one over the other, because each of these women have made such significant contributions. And there was a chairman, Chairman Jagland in Oslo. He said, we cannot achieve democracy and lasting peace in the world unless women achieve the same opportunities as men to influence developments at all levels of society. And this is so significant. It's many times very difficult for the women in the Western world to really understand, especially at this time in history, how many sacrifices were made by women 100, 150 years ago. And those rights and freedoms that we experience at this time haven't always been there. And so in other parts of the world, the Western woman has been an example of what women can attain. Many different cultures, many different environments. But we need to be aware that it's up to us as women to become educated, to be knowledgeable, and to learn to do what Bernie says, speak up and speak out when the opportunity arises. This is Donna Siebel. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
EMC calling from Tacoma, Washington.
And I need your first name or initial there.
E.
C like Catherine?
E as in EMC.
Oh, like, okay, D like Donna?
No, EMC.
Oh, EMC. I'm sorry, your voice is very soft there, so I couldn't hear you.
Oh.
Okay, let me give you the information I perceive. The first thing that is coming into my mind is that you need to be able to really take some time, and I would recommend you have a pad of paper in front of you or a journal of some kind, and look at three specific points that you can focus on. What I'm watching, it seems like I'm seeing you writing in a journal. I'm seeing you writing on sheets of paper, and it's like, oh, this is bothering me. This is going on. This is what I have to take care of. And you just keep writing, and that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But I'm asking you to take three items out of whatever that list might be, and let's focus on those three items. And those three items will enable you to focus, and I'm using the word focus more than once because it's so important. You've got so many distractions, so many different things around you to take away from what you need to really give your attention to. And this is going to make all the difference in the world for you. You've got a lot on your plate. I feel as if every time you think you're getting to a point where you have got all of your loose ends tied up, tied down, someone comes along and dumps something else on your plate of life. And eventually, you're going to learn you don't let people just dump stuff into your life. You're going to be able to clear the plate, keep things in an orderly pattern, and you are going to have the financial stability that you want. Now, I'm looking at exhaustion with you. I feel like my eyes are so heavy, and they get very, very heavy. I just want to lay down, and I want to go to sleep because I just am so tired. You need to take care of your nutrition. You need to be sure that you are aware of supplements that you can add to your diet. You don't need to be extreme with them, but you do need to be consistent. Your body needs to have rest, and you need to take care of yourself because you literally deplete all of your energy flow. So I want to encourage you to have your quiet time. I want to encourage you to enjoy learning about what works best for you physically. And in having the quiet time, in setting your priorities, in doing what you need to do for yourself, one, your health is going to be fine. You're really going to turn things around. Two, you're going to have better clarity when it comes to interacting with certain people that might be close to you, whether it's friends or family, and you're going to learn how to not take on their garbage. And three, you're going to feel like some old wounds finally have healed. And I think that that's very significant. Do you have a question for me?
No.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in. By the way, while you're on the line, I want to mention that on November the 12th, I and an associate, Robert Newman, we're going to be doing a class called Quantum Mind. And I'm going to be teaching for about an hour and a half, and Robert's going to be teaching for about an hour and a half. And he's going to be teaching about feng shui, and I'm going to be teaching about the intuitive process and empowering oneself. So this is something we're going to be doing on November the 12th. And if you'd like more information, you can give me a call at my office, since you're local, and my office number is 582-5604, or you could check out my website, DelphiInternational.com, and the information about the workshop and the upcoming event is right there up on my website. And I want to thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. And I want to thank those of you who are sending me these wonderful stories about people, various conditions and situations that have been going on. I just think it's marvelous. And I don't often have a chance to surf the web and check out different things. So when I get these details of and points of information from you, it's just wonderful. I really appreciate it. And so if you have something you want to share, just send it along to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I'll be sure to pass it on once I have a chance to go through it. Again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, this week I'm going to be in New York City. For those of you that are in New York, I'm going to be there the 14th and the 15th. I'll be appearing at the National Publicity Summit. I'll be interviewing 100 authors there, but I also will be available for private appointments. And anybody can call me at my office, 253-582-5604, and I'm happy to set up a time with you to meet. And then I'm going to be in Alaska from the 19th to the 23rd. For those of you listening from Alaska, I'll be in Fairbanks the 19th and the 20th. I'll be there during daylight hours, and then I'll be in Anchorage the evening of the 20th through the 23rd before I fly home. This has been a very busy month, but I really enjoy the traveling, and I enjoy meeting so many of the people that I can have an opportunity to interact with. So if you want to reach me at either one of those environments, call me at 253-582-5604. And like I said, I've got this class on November the 12th in the Pacific Northwest. And for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, you can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, check it out, all the information, or call me at my office, 582-5604. We can only take 25 students because we want this class to be interactive. So it'll be about psychic development and feng shui. And if you have something in particular in your home that you want to change, how do you make it better, bring a photo of it along, because Robert is going to be able to help you redesign your environment. Donna Sebo here. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat, is 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Suzanne Jones. Walking on Air is going to be our subject matter. Just wonderful, upbeat book. And then we're going to have an open mic day on Wednesday the 12th. That's the day before I fly to New York. And then on the 13th, we'll be having the Best of Donna. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about a very special dog named Cody. Oh, this is just a wonderful book. It's called Cody's Story. So we'll be talking about that on Friday, and I'll be doing that interview from the Big Apple. Now, I know we're going to be taking a break in just a minute. I wanted to come back and share with you some information about a physician that is not a Bernie Siegel, but someone that found that it's okay to deal with alternative forms of medicine. So I'll be sharing that with you when we come back. Perhaps a recipe. We'll just see what we can come up with. So thank you for staying with me. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, we have a tradition in the Sebo household of what I call my whatever soup, and I'm a great one for taking something like chicken broth, and whatever I've gotten leftovers goes in the pot. And it's amazing how delicious these soups will turn out. If I have any meat left over, any vegetables, potatoes, whatever, it goes in the pot. So I call it the whatever soup. But one of the soups that is absolutely loved by most people is a tomato soup. Now, tomato soup, you can add something like heavy cream, but if you don't want milk, you know, sometimes people don't want to have that creamy feel to the soup recipe, then they don't. They just add water. Well, so many of us grew up with having soup come out of a can instead of making it fresh. Well, how about your own homemade tomato soup? And it's really, really easy. And with this recipe, you don't have to put the milk in unless you really want to. Now, what we're going to have is 3 tablespoons of oil. 3 tablespoons of oil. You're going to need a medium onion, and you want to dice it. You don't want to make it super fine. I like chunky onion in my soup, so just, it's up to you. But you have to dice the onion. You're going to need two-thirds of a cup of diced carrot. You're going to need two-thirds of a cup of diced celery. 1 clove of garlic, and you want to mince it. And then you're also going to have 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour. And by the way, you might want to try, if you don't like to use regular flour, use rice flour. Try the rice flour with this, because I know some of you are gluten intolerant. So this is just a basic recipe. Then you're going to need 4 cups of your favorite chicken broth. You might want to have a little bit extra. And then you're going to need 2 1/3 cups of peeled, seeded, diced plum tomatoes, or just one can of your tomatoes. And you can get the inexpensive canned tomatoes. It needs to be about 28 ounces. You drain them, and then you chop them up. You're going to need 2 cups of tomato puree, 2 cups of tomato puree, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Now, some of you might like more, but remember, you can always add more salt and pepper later if you want. You're going to need 2 parsley stems, 1/2 bay leaf, and if you want cream, you're going to need 1 cup of hot cream and 2 cups of hot cooked rice, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/3 cup of thinly sliced basil. Now, this is a real simple recipe, but it's real easy to fix. Now, your oil, you want to put that in a medium pot, and you add your onion, carrot, celery, garlic, and you just let it cook. You stir it occasionally until it gets nice and soft. It's going to take about 6 to 8 minutes. Then you want to stir in your flour, and you want to cook it, stirring it frequently, until the flour is sort of like a light golden brown. At that moment, you want to whisk in your broth, your tomatoes, your puree, and your peppers. Then you want to bring it to a boil, reduce the heat, simmer it for 30 minutes. You're going to add the stems of parsley, your bay leaves, simmer it for about 30 minutes, and then you can strain the soup if you like, and you want to be sure that you get as much of the liquid out as you can. And if you want, you can discard the solids, and you return your soup to the pot. It's at this time, if you want to add your cream, and remember, it's the cream you want that's been heating. You add that in, and then stir in your rice, the salt, season it to taste, and garnish it with maybe a little dollop of sour cream or whatever is a favorite. Have something on the table, you know, like cheese or crunchy things like little goldfish or whatever kids might enjoy or what you might enjoy having with it. But remember, if you want to leave the cream out, you can do that. I prefer to leave the solids in myself. I like the texture. I like the onions. I like the chunkiness of all of that. But this is a soup that is absolutely marvelous. And if you wanted to, you could, if you had one of those upright blenders, you could stick it in the pot and you could blend it just like that so that it has a thickness to it with the texture of the vegetables, but it's different. So this soup you can really work with, and you can use it as a base for leftovers if you wanted to. It's really wonderful. So it's cream of tomato soup with rice, or just without the cream, tomato soup and rice or whatever you want to put in it. It's a simple recipe, it's easy, and it is delicious. I wanted to share with you a story by a physician, Gulshan Sethi. And this is a cardiothoracic surgeon. He's at the Arizona Health Center, and he is a professor at the University of Arizona College of Medicine. And he said he would see people at the hospital that were into alternative forms of medicine. And he thought, you know, you guys just don't know what you're doing. You're really out of whack. Remember what Bernie said in the interview? That as a doctor, he thought anything that had to do with different modalities really was sort of off the wall. It didn't click. It wasn't what he was trained with. And when his mind was changed, it just opened up a whole different arena of understanding. Well, it wasn't until his wife developed a serious autoimmune skin problem. Now, what happened is she ended up getting second-degree burns. It looked like that all over her body. Her body was just in tremendous distress. Well, he stopped one of these alternative personalities in medicine. Dr. Will is his name. And he found out about plant and herbal remedies, biofeedback, and hypnosis. His wife was cured. As a doctor, the modalities that he knew couldn't do a thing. So that's when he started looking into the mind-body connection and working with medicine from a different perspective. And just like Bernie, he was very intrigued by guided imagery. And this is when you have recorded suggestions or script help you visualize what you really need to have and, you know, do good things so that your body is going to heal. Well, there have been plenty of studies, he said, to show how powerful it can be for patients about to undergo procedures like the heart operations he performs. So he said, when you imagine yourself recovered, the physical effects on the body causes you to lower your heart rate, speeds healing. I said, he talks to his patients about this, using this guided imagery. But he said, you know what, most of them don't. He said, it's amazing how many of them really want to do this. And they're surprised when I, as a doctor, will tell them about it. And you know what? He himself used it when he had his knee replaced. And he said, I was able, within just hours after the operation, to take a short walk. It really works. That's another doctor that knows the mind makes a difference. Along with belief and imagination, powerful setup. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you for being with me today. Join me tomorrow, and let's walk on air. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.